Okay.
Hey everybody, Mike J here. Enter the design movement for our floss rollout, March the 23rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. I'm not sure which day we're going to launch the book yet. My birthday's on the 23rd. I might launch it on the 23rd. I think it's a Friday. Does anybody know when Easter is? We need to start looking at dates, Gary. Anybody know when Easter is this year?
I'm checking. I think it's early in April.
It's April.
April 8th.
So Gary put that down. April 8th is Easter, so we don't get close to that. All right, so March 23rd is sounding good. Friday's good. We'll probably be launching 12 o'clock midnight. We'll watch the count probably on a screen, and then we'll have a birthday dinner with those of you that are coming to celebrate, see how we did on the launch. My last two books went to bestseller, the top. I think we got to 21 on Upping the Downside, 28 on CPR for the Soul. I'd like to get a little higher this time, but
I
don't know.
What does it mean to launch a book?
I'm sorry?
What does it mean to launch a book?
Make it for sale.
Okay.
Yeah, make it for sale. So it will, I don't know, there's some pre-ordering stuff on Amazon. I don't know how they count it. It's not a big deal anymore to do bestseller because it's pretty much a machine-like process that you can do. I could take anybody and launch their book to be a bestseller. But it's handy for, you know, other people to be able to say, you could put it on the cover and stuff like that. So we'll work on that. What I'd like to do is, let's see, kind of logistics first. So let's look at five more calls, Gary. Let's open up our calendars and let's play around with that just a minute here because I have a really busy schedule. So let's work in six calls so that we get the design group together and that we have a chance to kind of informally. Now, this design process is not formal. I haven't formalized it. I have done it in the past, but I don't want to this time because I'm getting old and cranky and curmudgeon-y, and I would prefer to just do it informal and we all just become a little family here as much as a low family person can lead a family. And we just kind of talk to each other. We supplement it with email. If we have to get on the phone together or if I have to do an audio or give you some vision work or whatever it is, I'll do that. But let's try to get these six calls in. So we got the 14th. Sorry for missing the first one. I know I'm losing some fans because my crazy penis is growing in the wrong direction. For those of you who know Myers-Briggs, I'm an ENTP, and I usually have a pretty good J system around me. That's how I've been able to function well for the last 25 years in coaching. But as of late, I've been doing some juggling. Hotmail has been messing around, changing its formats and doing things. And at one point in time, my assistant couldn't log in without blocking me, and I hate to be blocked because it takes half an hour to get me unblocked, so I shut her out. And that means I didn't get reminders, and I think it's normal now. Hotmail just put in a new thing where they're sending out automated reminders from the Hotmail calendar itself. You don't even have to trigger them. Once you just put it in, it sends you the Hotmail calendar for the day. It's pretty nice, actually. So I'm going to make a change in my staff when I go back. So hopefully by the first of the year, we'll have the J system back in, and I'll stop missing calls. I kind of need to wear one of those electric shock collars because most of the time I don't even know what planet I'm on, and consequently I need to be shocked back into consciousness. Gary wants to loan me one that he's used on his dogs, but I don't know if I'll do it, Gary. In any case, December 14th, my God, time is flying, isn't it? I met with my youngest daughter. She was here picking up some stuff, and we had lunch together. Hadn't seen her in a good while. And I said, look, I'd like you guys, you and Allie, to come out for my 60th birthday. She goes, How old are you? I thought you were only 50.
Hey, that's good.
So, you know, yeah, it's good, but, you know, the thing is time flies when you're really having fun, so it is really flying. Mm-hmm. In any case, December the 14th, so let's look at January the 4th. It's a Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. How's that for the second call, Gary? Good answer. Someone's got a bad connection or a phone or something.
That's probably me. I said I'm on a different calling system.
Okay.
Trying to test it out.
Okay. Well,
January 4th is good.
So far, it sucks. Okay. Let's see. January the 4th, number 2. Okay, number 3. Number 3. Okay, we're into January now. The 4th, we will be talking about the launch of the value sync after my forecast call. Now, remember, I have a forecast call on the 2nd of January. I'm going to do my forecast call. I haven't done a forecast for a while, so I'm working on my 2012 forecast. I think it's important to go ahead and forecast at least 2012 and beyond. So I'm working on that. We'll do an audio call. We're going to try to recruit people to that. Again, Gary, the reason we do these supplemental topic calls is to recruit people to larger things. So we'll try to recruit those people on the 2nd to the intro call on the 6th. And then the main call's 9th through the 13th, so we don't want to do anything that week. I would say we want to look at Monday. Should we keep it on Wednesday? I'd like to do Monday the 16th of January for the third one. Let me tell you why. I want to start the Flawless Coaching Program, which you all are going to come to, or at least listen to, on the 18th. And we've got to put in 13 calls between the 18th and March the 23rd. So that's like 2 a week, I think. So if we do the 16th as a design call, that way we can finalize whatever it is we need to do in terms of where we are in relationship to the Flawless Coaching Program and the certification program. So we should talk about certification. Jackie, would you take a couple of notes here? We'll have this in the audio, but on the 16th, the agenda should be the certification, and I'd like to get Manya and Rachel to come on that call so that we can begin to know at that point what we're looking at in terms of the venue, because if we don't have a large turnout in Vegas, what I will do is I'll rent a large suite and we'll just do our work informally there. And I've done that before and that's worked out very well. If we have, say, more than 12, then we'll have to get a meeting room. And that means changing the venue because I want to go to the Palazzo myself. Or I would go to the Texas casino. I can't remember the name of it. They have a family casino called Something Texas, and I went to it a few years ago, and inside they have bowling, they have movie theaters, they have all kinds of food, although it's kind of pricey. But you stay in the big under the cover. The rooms are very reasonable though, like $30 or $40 or $50, and then of course, you know, the casino. But and they have meeting rooms, so that might be – that's kind of what I'm thinking as an option. Manya and Rachel have already checked out the Tuscany Suites, and I don't know if it's still available, but they found good rates there. The only problem is $1,200 for a meeting room. So, again, if we're not going to have a lot of people, what we're going to do is just get a suite and work there. It depends. I just don't know what this economy is going to do to people. And it seems like right now that people are really hesitant to invest their money in something that they don't know they're going to get something back out of. So part of our design has to be to help people that says, hey, look, folks, things are not going to be pretty going down this backside of the mountain, but we can help you get down that thing in pretty good shape if we can show you some things. And we're going to have to be able to communicate that to people. I don't know how we do it, through writing, through audio, through video, through through whatever it is. That's part of what the design is. I was even thinking about doing a short video tomorrow, Gary, for you about this design call, and just saying to people, hey, folks, look, you know, this next couple of years is going to be really something tough. Do you want to go through that by yourself, or do you want to join, you know, a community of people who are, you know, putting some, you know, thought into this and see if you can't, you know, work and collaborate and understand what you need to do to navigate? Because I'm telling you, 80%, 20% are going to be okay, because half of those have got money and they'll lose it, but they won't lose all. And the other 10%, it doesn't matter because they don't have any money. So it didn't make any difference what happens to them anyway. But 80% of the people are going to have a new life within 2 years, I guarantee you. I mean, we went over numbers last night that I'll share with you. We're talking about 10 million households, one in five people losing their homes over the next 5 years. There is a 684-day backlog right now. The time that they're using in foreclosure processes and short sales and everything anybody else wants to call it is buffering the system so that that big wad, that python, that pig in the python, doesn't all hit at once and thrust everything into debt default at once. They're trying to do a Japanese-style deflation. But they can't hold it much longer because Europe's going to go down. As soon as Europe gets past 7%, on their bonds, and they're already Credit Suisse just warned their investors that Italy and Spain are going to go to 9% on their bonds. That's unsustainable. So the writing is on the wall. We're going to get sovereign defaults in Europe. They are too big to fail, which means that the TARP that you guys thought was just for us was not just for us. It was for Europe. If you saw all the European banks that got money during TARP, you don't understand that Europe is like a huge bank that can't fail. And so consequently, this thing's going down. Now the question is, when and how far? I don't know. I don't know at this point if they can stop it. They're trying, and the only problem is the Europeans, again, are not taking it serious enough, so they're not going all in. So anyway, I don't want to get off on that, but I'm trying to figure out how to get people's attention and say, hey, look, this is not just a simple thing that's going to happen to us here. This is a major paradigm shift. And so consequently, people are going to really need to rewrite what they're doing. And of course, I can show people how to come down on this other side of the collapse way. I can show them how to get down the mountain easier, you know, by not having to just, you know, flail through the thing. Hang on 1 second. Okay, somebody's in a car, or Gary muted, or whatever do you need to do to calm that thing down? Okay.
What time on
What? Say again?
What time on this?
Let's keep all of our calls at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay. All right, so that's number three, and the agenda there is we're going to talk about the certification, because we've already done the format for the certifications. It works. However, we need to do some tweaking on it, and I'm going to do this. More than likely, I will be doing this certification, and it will be videotaped. So in my view, I don't really care if we have a lot of people. Of course, it'd be nice to have, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 there, because that means we're going to help a whole lot of folks. But at the same time, this stuff is at the edge so far that I think people are going to try to go the conventional route and then just hunker down and try to weather this baby, and that's not going to be the right thing. You've got to take action. You have got to turn things to cash. You have got to stop consumption. And so that's going to be hard for people. So I know that, and I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm going to do what I can, and then we'll go from there. So that's the 16th. We'll talk about certification. now we're in, we've got the calls to juggle. Gary, in the past, what has always worked well for me is a Tuesday and Thursday program. And when I say Gary, I'm talking to all of you. In other words, what has worked for the last 13 years I've been teaching courses online is Tuesday and Thursday classes work pretty well. They get you out of Monday. They don't take you into the weekend. They're possible attendance calls. Of course, we'd love to have people live. At the same time, you can do this work on audio. That's the whole idea by calling this the online program, because what we want to do, Gary, is we want to begin to look at how do we make this an online program. Somebody signs in, logs in, gets their first module, listens to it, watches the slides, maybe there's an accompanying video, and there's their workbook. They do their workbook during the audio. And this is part of what we have to design into this flawless part so that the audio is there, so that the structure is there for people to complete their workbook. Now, we do have a workbook. Manya has produced that. And I'm wondering, I will probably change it. So we're probably going to have some help with editing the workbook and how we go about it, because we'll probably change it on the fly. And then bringing that back and possibly doing a re-record of the audio program with the changed workbook. So this charter class of Flawless Coaching is going to be doing some sausage making. And, of course, that's actually good, because you need to struggle with this material in order to give your psychological system the appropriate tensions with which you can begin to seek the equilibrium at a new order of chaos. Because what's going to happen is that all of us are going to have to reset our system. In other words, this macroeconomic problem is going to force us to rewrite most of the rules for everything: currency, debt, loans, interest rates, everything else. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a global mess, because we're finally going to realize it's bigger than any one region, country, group, and then we're going to have to start sitting down and have these big powwows like G20 is trying to have, but they're going to be among more people who are in design who will actually begin to say, okay, we may have to go to a new system. We may even have to entertain some form of jubilee where we do debt cancellation to a certain extent for, quote-unquote, large numbers of people. I'm thinking that this will be so bad. If you've seen the numbers that I've seen and you've seen the models that I've seen, this only gets worse. You can't stop it. And so we just want to make sure we're on the right side of it. We're getting talking in the background or something. Gary, manage the call. Put him on lecture mode while I'm thinking out loud here, so it doesn't disturb me, because we'll go too long if it does. Okay. What we want to do is we want to start the class on a Wednesday, even though I just said Tuesday and Thursday. Start the class on a Wednesday. That's going to be the start. Then we go to, and now this is us. This is the Flawless Coaching class, because we got to weave both these in here at the same time. Okay, so we've got a design call on 16th, number 3. We got the intro to Flawless Coaching on the 18th. That gives us time to recruit a few more people to get them to start on the 24th. So we'll do the intro, free. And we'll do the 24th and the 26th as the first couple elements. And then we'll go to February, 24, 26. Then we go to 31 and 2. 31 and 2. All right. And that's four elements, 7th and 9th. 6 elements, 14th and 16th, 8 elements, 21, 23rd, 10 elements, 28. We got leap year this year, and the first 12, is that 12 or 10? Oof, I forgot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 10, that's 12. Okay, so we would actually finish the course early, because we do the wrap up on March the 6th. Okay. All right, so we don't have to quite go that fast. So let's do this, because we can finish on the 13th. That will be okay. So let's do it from the back. Let's back it through now and see what we have to do. Okay, so let's assume that the last call is on the 13th, and then the class members can meet on the 15th for a review. In other words, Mike's done the 13th, wrapping up the last call. The class members can meet talking about certification next week, who's going, who's coming, who wants to work on their blueprint a little bit more, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so the 15th would be an unofficial class date. The 13th would be the last class date. So then the 8th and the 6th would be 2. And the 1st and the 28th would be of February would be 2. That's 4 elements. And then we pick up the 23rd, 21st of February, 14th, and 16th. That's 8. And then 10 is 7th and 9th. And the 31st and the 2nd are the first two, which puts us, if I've done my math correctly, the 18th can be an intro, and it can be a vision call. The 24th can be the introduction. The 26th can be set up for the workbook. I don't have to do that call. Maybe we can get Manya to do that call. And then the 31st would be the first element. And I think that will get us there. So, Gary, you work that up, or have Jackie work it up or whatever, and get us a schedule and see what that looks like. And then we'll talk about that schedule on our design call on, what did we say we were going to do it? The 4th. And we'll finalize that schedule right then. We'll finalize the schedule on January the 4th. Then the 16th, we talk about certification. And then let's talk about how do we get people to come to the 16th on the certification is the logistics of it. Who's thinking about coming? Who's going to be there? Who can help us plan it? What do we think about volume? Do we need to get a venue? Blah, blah, blah on that. Okay. So then on January the 30th, which is a Monday, let's do design four. At 8:30, and then February the 13th, let's do design 5, and March the 5th, do design 6, if that works for everybody. 8:30 p.m., all those calls. So that's 6 calls. That's about 15 flawless coaching calls with the actually 16 with Manya going over the workbook and how to set it up and do it the best. And Gary, write yourself a note. By that date, let's have Chris's team, using the form handler, create a fill-in-the-blank workbook that we can begin to use. So we could go over it on that date and log people in and get them their first workbook, because I want people to work through the workbook. And you know, as I think about the workbook that Manya did, I'm thinking that we'll need to change. So that means that I need to look at the workbook over the holidays. Jackie, you, all right, so that means if I need to look at that over the holidays, which I'm pretty sure I'm going to need to, because the workbook that Manya's doing is kind of like a self-paced. The workbook that we're doing is to fill out the blueprint. So that means we're going to have to change that workbook a little bit, both for its online consumption and for people to get through it easier. So that means with the 14th, I would say we're going to have another design call. So we're going to have 7. You guys can come to whichever ones you want. I know you don't have to come to all of them, and you probably won't be able to make it to all of them anyway. Does anybody have a big problem with doing something on the 28th? What I'm going to do, what we are going to do, Gary, get Michelle to do this. Find the workbook, send everybody, get the design URL done. Have Michelle do that. Get the design URL page done. And let's just go flawlessliving.info/design, if that folder is available. Let me just check and see if it's available. I'll get you guys in just a second. Let's just get through this logistics first. Let's see. Of course, we just paid to have this super duper wild super access in every room. Just think about the internet and it shows up and it works worse than the one we had before that we were paying half price for. So much for that. Okay, design is there. Let's see what's in design. We've got okay. So tell her to go ahead and use design folder. Tell her to take the index page just there and put it on design/success by design. There's an audio on there. If you guys want to listen to that before they move it tomorrow, you can. It's at flawlessliving.info/design. There's a success by design interview there. We're going to move that to design/success by design. And then make a new index page, Gary, and start putting our design materials there. Put a link to the 12 elements. Put a link to the workbook. If the workbook hadn't been uploaded yet, upload it to that folder and put the workbook there so that the design team can have a look at it. Some of you have already seen it. What I'm asking you is probably try to take a look at that workbook. Gary, have Michelle notify me when the workbook's up. I will have a quick look at it. I'm pretty sure we can't use it for what I want to do during the class. So that means that we have to come up with a workbook on the fly, which means we will not be able to do the workbook on the 26th. What we'll have to do, we'll show them the workbook on the 26th, but we're going to have to make the workbook up each week. So people are just going to have to work with us on that. But the idea of the online thing, I want someone to be able to listen to the audio, and I want them to be looking at their workbook, and I want them to be able to fill in some blanks. So, for instance, when we talk about happiness by design, we might say, you know, list things that when you do them, they make you happy. You lose track of time, and then a little while after you do them, you want to do them again. And that's how you know you're getting close to the motives that are unconsciously working you, okay? So in happiness by design, happiness is natural, what you want to do is you want to be able to really put the buttons and the switches. In other words, another thing you could say is, what really upsets you? When somebody does this, fill in the blank, it really upsets you, or it causes you to be sad, or you go into a fighting mode, or you want to argue, or whatever it is, those movements. You know, we got those four movements: against, with, towards, and away from. What makes you move in one of those directions? Those are things that help us identify the buttons and the switches that other people know we have that we ourselves are almost unconscious of. So we would, that's that, Gary, is an example of what we would need to put in that workbook. You see what I'm saying? So we're kind of going to have to do this on the fly. Okay. So we'll have the workbook there, and I'm just trying to think, what kind of mental shape am I going to be in during January? I should be okay because it'll take me 2 weeks to change, so that I'll be changed by January, so I'll be on their time. And I'm not going back till February, so I should be good through most of the first, the hard parts of the class, which will be the upfront parts. Okay, that should be okay. All right. Okay, now, let's open it up, and hopefully we don't have noises. And let's see if anybody has any questions.
Mike, I only had one question. This is Sandy. And my question is, what was your last design call 7? When was that?
March February something.
March.
March 5th.
That was the 6th one.
Yeah, and we're
putting, then you had a bonus one.
It's actually going to be the 7th because we're going to put another one in on the 28th, which will be 2 instead
of 28th of the 28th of February.
Yeah, no, 28th of December.
Oh, got it. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're going to have to come back, and I'm going to have to put this into my subconscious and let it gestate while I'm doing my time change. We're going to have to come back. And we're going to have to look at the online workbook. What shape is that going to have to take? Because we're going to have to talk to Chris in IT about it and see how flexible we are with that. Got somebody on a note call. Is that still you, Gary? That doesn't sound like your noise. So can you find who's making the noise? It should be shown on your screen as someone speaking up.
Henry.
Okay. Just mute them when you see that. When you see them acting up, just mute them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's just recap right quick. You guys are here in a parallel process, which means you have access to me for stuff. I'll take one email a day. That's all. Unless we get into something that's really important, then I'll be the judge of how much I get used. But you guys can email me. So if you have questions, you have concerns, you have comments, you have suggestions, ideas, whatever, email me, and I will answer at least one of those every working day, Monday through Friday. Okay. You'll get that kind of access to me for the next 180 days. So we'll end that sometime June. But take advantage of it if you want to. I'm fine with email. Now, if you have to send me one of those big long things, don't do that very often. I respond really well to 50 words, no more than 50 words. I'm really good at that. I'm even better with 20 words. And if you can get it below that, that's great. But if we need to dialogue about something, we can do that. And also we can dialogue about something that if I have two or three people asking me that, we'll dialogue about that in design. So please feel free to use me. You bought into this program. I want to be here for you. Plus, it'll also give me temperature check of what's going on out there and stuff like that. So I need kind of as a research thing too. Let's see. Of course, you get access to all the calls, the flawless coaching. There's no certification fee for you to come to Las Vegas. The only thing that we should do on January the 16th, and then when's the next call, Gary? Did we go to February on that, or did we go to the 28th? No, we didn't. We went to February, maybe. Anybody remember when the next one was after January 16th?
January 30.
Okay, on January 30, what we should all do is we should all make a decision at that point who's going. So you can get your tickets, so we can get the venues straight. The 16th, we're going to talk about certification, what's involved, how many days it's going to be, what we're going to try to accomplish. In lieu of most of you already gone through this one, it's great to go through a second layer, but it'll bore the hell out of you. So we'll have to figure out what we're going to do. The thing I would like to do is recruit people to come to that seminar and then put them in a level two program, which all of you need to go into, which is the second layer of peeling the onion, which is usually that layer that really helps the most, because once you understand this stuff and sort of get your ducks in a row, so to speak, then you can begin to actually engineer from the design a scaffolding that will actually begin to put you in place. In other words, put you where you need to be. And so that level two program, that will have all the vernacular down, you'll understand all the jargon. The other thing, Gary, on the design call, have Michelle put the length of glossary. One of the things I'm thinking that we should do is have her set up a wiki on design and call it design/wiki/workbook. Have her set up a wiki page or a wiki at the workbook. That's fine. And what we're going to do is we're all going to work on this workbook together as we go through the program. And then as we edit and change, add, and do whatever it is we need to do in a collaborative way, which is what is going to model FLOSS, then the IT people can come behind us and get the workbook ready so that we have it ready for the FLOSS online program that we can produce after that. I will give you all access to the FLOSS online program since you're in the sausage-making part of it. The other thing I'd like to do is recruit people to the FLOSS Living or the FLOSS Coaching Program, which starts between January the 16th and I think January the 20, the 30, the 31st, because we're going to do a promotion call on the 16th. We will come back the next week and do two calls. One an intro, the other kind of an introduction to the workbook exercises that are already completed, and we probably won't fool with that workbook because that's kind of a self-paced workbook and that people can do that on their own. Then we'll come back with the introduction of FLOSS coaching, and then we'll go so Gary, you need to get Michelle working on a class design, class page, on all that sort of stuff too. She can probably work on that. They're not coming back till the 9th now, just so you know. So maybe it would be a good idea for you to just kind of get in your mind all the different things that we need and then toss that back and forth with me daily, and then we can do that. All the different things that need to be built, all the pages that need to be created, stuff like that. It won't take that long, but if you're going to have somebody else do it, you've got to have kind of an instruction list. So we should get that class page put up. Tell Michelle it'll be modeled similar to 12 Elements. And I have to think about I want to weave the actual process that the facilitator, coach, trusted advisor, confidant, family member, whatever guide is going to do in this program. And so the coaching program will be different than 12 Elements. It will use 12 Elements, but the coaching program itself will be how do you coach someone to get their map created, to get the blueprint created. So rather than just going over the 12 Elements, how do we coach people to do that? And, of course, that's why we want the people for the seminar weekend, which we need to start promoting after the 16th. So we need to start promoting the seminar program, which is where people will sign up and come to the seminar, and we want to talk about how are we going to do that? How are we going to fund it? How are we going to – what are we going to charge? I've even thought about doing a donation-style program. I don't know. That's a worrisome time around March because of what's going to be happening macroeconomically. We could be facing a huge mess at that point in time. So having had scheduled a lot of things after 9/11, I can tell you, whenever you have macroeconomic events that affect everybody, people don't go to nothing. So that's the danger in that. So it's going to be tricky, but I don't know. We got to do it. We got to do it because we got to try to help as many people as we can. And the only way to do it is to do that. So we'll figure that out in the design process as to what we want to do. If you offer them for free, people don't find value in that. However, I have noticed lately that there has been some interesting ideas around donations, accepting donations. So, you know, asking people for a donation after the program, maybe even, you know, during the day parts that separate the program, how long the program is going to be, that sort of thing. So we'll have to think about that. But the idea, obviously, is to, you know, put people in the seats. We can't help them if they're not there. At the same time, how do we get them there? And I don't know if we're going to be able to use traditional methods, but maybe we can. I just, my idea, the problem that we have right now is fear. Now, how do we give people who need to understand that the fear is real? In other words, we're telling people that there's a tiger out there, and if they go outside the cave, that the tiger is a good chance of getting them. Okay? At the same time, how do we tell them to go out the cave? Watch the tiger, go out the cave, go about your business, but do some things about that tiger. And that's going to be the tough part. We want to stay optimistic about this because FLOSS is a very optimistic system, but it's built on realism. And it's built on this structural, or what the beautiful mind called governing dynamics of what's happening out there. And so what we're saying is that the structural dynamics are going to shift. They're at a tipping point now, so they are shifting early for people who see it. But the people who don't see it, it's not, it's going to look like it did. And if it looks like it did, you won't do anything different except try to hunker down. Hunkering down will kill you in deflation. So you just keep waiting for the window. Hunkering down in Japan has killed Japan. And they've been doing it for 20 years, and they may end up doing it another 10 along with us. In fact, I can't see any other way. The good thing about deflation going down like Japan did is it doesn't shock the system. It just gradually bleeds you to death. It's like the boiled frogs. You never notice the temperatures going up until, you know, it's too late. But on the way down, it seems a lot better. And that's the problem about not having a depression, but having a 20-year or two-decade-long recession. If you look at the values of the companies where they were when they went into that in the late 1980s and early 1900s, and you look at it now, they have lost 65% of their value. So that can't be good for long term. You can't just hunker down, because if you hunker down, there's a problem. So we've got to get people not to just hunker down in the fear and in the storm and think it's going to blow over, but there's a series of storms coming behind it, so you can't wait it out. You have to do something. And what we're suggesting is a very proactive design, which is cut your consumption and do it significantly. Do that based on what matters, which is why it makes it easy if you can get to the point of finding out what matters, and then begin to look at a more collaborative structure where reaching out, resilience, those kinds of things are actually going to be more natural. And then, of course, part of the problem is that we have to help people understand how to create density in these other basins. Now, we'll do that and provide that program as a bonus for the people that we recruit into Flawless Living the 9th through the 13th. We'll show them how to either build or design density into the scaffold that they need to be able to hold up something under load, under pressure. So the Flawless Coaching Program is a very optimistic program, but it's based on the realism of fear. So that's going to be a tough sell, because we're going to have to figure that out. That's what this design group has to think about. So I would be glad with you if you share your ideas. Every one of you should be on the FLOSS discussion list. We can discuss this there, because it will be important for the people who are not there, who are on FLOSS, to see this and add to it. So that's what we have to do. Again, I want to couch this in optimism. At the same time, it's got to have a foundation of realism. And if your reality is wrong, which means the structural dynamics are wrong, then you're going to see what's happening and do the wrong behavior. And so that's going to be tough. So, and I'm not wrong about this. The only thing I can't tell you is the timing on it. The structure's there. We know what the structure is going to do. We've known that for at least I've known it since 2006, 2007. The problem is the timing. And the other problem, I'll tell you in my own personal life, is getting yourself turned around such that you're operating off a new set of assumptions. That is really hard. It's, even though you can face it and know all this stuff is happening, and it's still hard to change your life. So for me, it's taken – I've been working on it for 5 years. I've had some real serious missteps because it's hard. And the other thing is that we're working off a BS platform, which depends on all of us going out, pounding the pavement, getting work, unless you can reduce your consumption and your cost. So that's this is a very nasty time right now for everybody. All my clients are suffering, and I saw a presentation last night from one of my clients that is just so depressing, because we're talking about taking a whole decade for housing to recover, and one in five people losing their homes. You know, you got to understand, there's 110 million households, 54 million of them have loans. There's 54 million loans on the books. The other half own their houses in some form or another, inheritance, bought them, paid them, whatever. One in five of those that have loans are likely to lose their homes, which means that you're going to have a terrible consumption pattern, because when they lose their home, they lose their credit. Now, if we built a society based on money and credit, and we don't have 30 or 40 or 50% of it with credit cards, that means consumption is going to drop like a rock. And until companies figure out, okay, how do we get people to consume when they don't have credit? Now, that's the next phase you're going to see. Now, you're starting to see the early stages of that right now. I just saw an ad on TV, the furniture place, 4 years, no interest. 4 years, no interest. And you have to pay like $50 a month, something like that, for buying X number of dollars of thing. And you get a big screen TV. So this is just the start of a new consumption pattern. We're going to have to see how do you get people to consume without paying money. Now, the big box retailers and the discounters found out that people will consume, but you can't make any money if they do, which is the Black Friday thing. They just didn't make any money. So they sold a lot of stuff, didn't make any money. So that model doesn't work. So we got a difficult situation. Now, coaching people through this, how you need to be as an individual, and our target is probably, I would say that our target is the 10% of people that sit at the upper 10% of the middle class. They are not in the high middle class. They are not in the top 20%. I would say our target is the people who have the most to lose because of their consumption patterns and because of where they are in their lives and because they work so damn hard to get where they are, that's our target. And those are the people we have to coach to change now. Now, it's getting late, so they should have already started changing. Like I said, I started changing 5 years ago, and I'm still not quite there yet. Although I'm a lot different now than I was 5 years ago in many ways, both good and bad. But the thing is, it takes a while to get this done. And if you're going to get in front of this thing, you're going to have to begin to shift your behavior now, which means you have to shift the reasons for your behavior. And, of course, that's what this coaching is about. And it can be very optimistic, the problems that we're going to have. Now, the reason I said the target was the top 10% of the second 20% is that most of those people will not have the structural dynamics that will lead us into to advanced coaching problems. They won't be the group that's struggling so much with depression. They won't be the group that's struggling so much with the inability to understand how work leads to money, stuff like that. They'll be an easier group. So that's what I'm thinking. That market will be an easier group to influence because they get it. And if we can help them get it, then, of course, then we can use those, because, see, those are opinion leaders. Those people, Those people are opinion leaders, and people watch them to see how good they do and what they're doing, and they follow them. So monkey see, monkey do. If we can influence that 10%, then we'll get a large leverage effect that's scalable in the rest of the people who are then hooked in them. Because the way FLOSS works is power law distribution. You create a node, and then all the nodes that connect to that node become more important depending on the number of connections they have to each other. So part of the process of this movement that I'm trying to create, which will actually help people, by the way, I know it's helping people because, you know, my oligarchs paid me a lot of money to show them this 5 years, and they're doing great, and they understand getting in front of the collapse wave and all this sort of stuff because it's happening. It's happening right in front of them. It's happening right where they're working. And so they all understand about this next decade. But what I have to do is convince the people who have just a little bit of money and a little bit of discretionary income how to do this. So this is part of the design process. How do we go about getting the message to the people who will be open and not worrying so much about getting the message to everyone? Just the ones that are open enough that we can influence. And that's why our target's probably narrow. And at the same time, it is a group of people who do have discretionary income. So that's the message that we're going to have to send. Now, in what values basin will they be in? Well, they'll be in all four basins. There'll be some that have done it against. There'll be some that are doing it with. There'll be some that are doing it away from. A lot of them doing it away from at that level. And then there will be those that are towards achievers. So we have to have a message that goes to them to come into their system without triggering an immune response and them raising their shields. And at the same time, we have to put some degree of urgency with this because it's happening faster than most people think it's happening. And therefore, the sense of urgency is that if you can get in front of that collapse wave, you can save everything. If you don't, then you react and lose everything, and that's the key. And that's why I think that 10%. So the message is going to have to be in some ways optimistic, somewhat realistic, well, very realistic, but not realistic to the point to where it's pessimistic, and it has to be value-synced. It's going to have to be a value-synced message because we're going to have to go to the rules of the basin. So you're not going to teach – you're not going to talk an away-from person about doing against work. They're just not going to do it. It's like my daughter. She says, "Dad, you know, I hate my job." I said, "Why do you hate it?" She said, "Because they're making me sell all the time." I said, "I just talk to these people, and they say they love her, you know, because she's not only a great athlete and knows what she's doing. She's smart as a whip, gifted kid, and already way far in development, so people recognize that. And they say they're clamoring to train for her. But, Dad," he said, "that my manager knows how good I am, and they're always coming around trying to make me sell. I hate it." I said, "Here's how you do it." So I taught her an affiliative way to ask for referrals from the people she already knows so she doesn't have to go out and do the cold calling that goes with a job. And all she needs to do is just get one every week or so that will refer someone to her because she's so great. And that she's got going for her. So we spent a little time at the enchilada table talking about that. But that's how you have to do it, see? You have to redesign your approach such that you will do it. And in order to do it, it's got to push your button and flip your switches and get in line with happiness. And, of course, that's the key. Once you do that, then the rest of the things that are going on can fall away, which means that's going to decrease your expenses and your consumption. So that's the short version, but it's not so easy, as I say. But it can be done, and it can be done in a way that doesn't cause you to have to give up the things that are most important to you. You can still do all those things, even though I've downsized terrifically. I still have all the main things that give me what I need to be happy. And yet I don't have the costs, the expenses, and the consumption associated with it like I did before. So that's the idea. So think about this concept. Most of you are already familiar with it. Some of you, I hope, are trying to do it in your own lives. If you don't believe this is coming, I don't know what to say to you because I will try to do a call. So, Gary, make sure everybody here has accesses to the Choices video. They need to understand Rock Candy Mountain. It's a 7-minute video, folks. You got to see it. MikeJ.com/choices or flawlessliving.info/choices. Don't worry about where the links go and stuff like that. Just watch the video. You've got to understand this because this is what's happening. And I'm one of the few people in the world, literally, who understands this and has mapped the business cycle to the long-term money and credit cycle. Even the financial people don't understand this yet. So you got to understand that. So maybe what we'll do, Gary, is maybe I should have an update call as part of the information right after my forecast call. So why don't we do this, Gary? Why don't we have the forecast call, and then I told Jim that we would do a developmental call on the 3rd. On the 4th, we're doing a design call. On the 5th, God, I'm working myself. Okay. On the 5th, we'll do this call. We'll do the governing dynamics call. We need to get Michelle to get that set up in an SSS, because what I will do is I will reveal the structural dynamics of what's happening right now in housing, money and credit, some of these other important things, like maybe what's going on in Europe, why things are the way they are and why we don't know it, those kind of things. I will do that. And that's after the forecast call, because we'll recruit the people from the forecast call to say, look, if you want to get into the governing dynamics of this stuff and why I'm making these things, even though I talked about it, you want to see the real guts of it, I will show you some of those on January the 5th. So we'll do that at January the 5th. Get Michelle to get that one up now so I get to thinking about it. So have her finish that before they go on holiday break. flawlessliving.info/governing dynamics. Governing dynamics. And then I'll go ahead and write the info page, and I'll start gathering the things I need to do to show people the models that I'm working off of so that they understand what's going on. All right. Anybody have any questions, any desires, any whatever?
Jackie, my computer's locked up, so I can't mute or unmute anybody. Can you do that?
I just did, Gary.
Okay, thanks.
Anybody want to say anything?
No.
Okay, if you have anything bubble up, just drop me a note, short note.
I'm sorry, David, did you have something you wanted to say?
David Allen, you mean?
Yeah, I thought somebody said yes.
No, the only thing I have to say is I'm somewhat new to this. I'm familiar with spiral dynamics and some of the other things, but I'm very not familiar with Mike's program. I'm very excited about it, and sometimes with all this stuff going on, I'm not quite sure where to start digging in. So I'm just being patient and just, you know, going with the process.
Yeah, you're bringing up an extremely important point, and because this is design, we have to solve this problem. Now, we are working on it, but we have to solve this problem. Where do you go first? And this is something that over the course of design, I want you guys to keep bringing up to me, because I have some ideas. Jackie is working on some things, like, you know, coming to the discussion list, you know, what Floss is like, here are some links you should see. I've got to do a video at some point. I'm thinking about doing that in January just to explain Floss. I need a whiteboard. I need the 12 elements. I need to pull together the idea to get people moving. The problem is that this is a system that functions in simplicity on the other side of complexity, which means there's a degree of complexity to get through before you can get to that simplicity. Once you learn all this and you can see all the connections that we've made, it's actually pretty simple because as a new paradigm comes in, the manner in which it presents itself seems to be chaotic and it seems to be complex, but actually underneath it are very simple but different governing dynamics, which are the same things that they talked about in What the Bleep when they said that when the explorers came, and by the way, the first explorers were not the Spanish, they were the Chinese in the 1300s, but when the explorers came, the Indians looked out and they couldn't see the ships because they didn't have conceptualization of what a ship was. Okay, I don't think that's true, but it's a good metaphor, because what's happening now for people coming into FLOSS is they can't conceptualize the differences in this new paradigm, because they have, they are completely danced with BS. And so Blank Slate has taught us all this stuff, and believe me, it's in me too, because I'm blank slating all the time. At the same time, this lost piece where we're not equal, where we're different, where we have to understand that we don't go through the same car wash, we don't go up that spiral. No, we don't. No, we don't. That's the flaws in some of these systems. This is the, what has to go and start tearing apart all these pieces, and then look at the pieces all on the table like a puzzle that you would dump out, and then look at the picture and then put the puzzle together. And that's what we haven't been able to do yet. And for me, I'm struggling with that because it takes me back to build density in a place that's no fun. So what I've got to do is I've either got to find some people or somebody or a game or something to help people begin to understand what the hell it is we're talking about. And, of course, a lot of this is jargony and full of crap, and it's based in heavily in adult development. And if you're not familiar with adult development, and then it's a real race to catch up. So the thing I would do is, for now, just come to – you signed up for the right thing. Because the more time you spend with me, the more this will work out for you. I promise that. Because I'll hit enough of this enough of the time that it will begin to make sense to you. You can ask the people who have been around a year. When they were there, they felt exactly like you, but now they're starting to begin to understand it. And – because they're starting to understand it, they're beginning to apply some of it. Now, in the application process is where the true understanding comes, because FLOSS itself is an active experimentation system. It's the scaffolding for what most people can't do, which is actively experiment. So that's the difficult part. So just hang in there for now. The other thing is we need to have people keep telling us this so we keep talking about it, because no one will come into this system unless they have a background. Now, with that being said, there is a complete background, although it's not in its final form, but it's in the good enough form that you can start reading it now, and that's the book. Read the book.
Where do you get the book?
You should have already gotten access to the book. So, Jackie, our system's breaking down.
Which book are we talking about?
All of them. The Happiness and Success book.
Thank you.
So we need to make sure that if you guys will read that book, it's not a bad read. I mean, I've even had people pick it up and say, hey, I was surprised at how much I read. So if you can just read the first few chapters, at least you will get the idea about what is happening in the difference between the paradigm of blank slate, where we are taught to believe that we're all equal and that we come into the world and basically develop, which is, you know, very much a spiral dynamics axiom, which is not true. The FLOSS believes that our spiral is born into us. And you have this inbornness, and you're going to gravitate to certain values, and you're going to shun others. And you're not going to go through them or touch them if you shun them. So basically what we've done is take the spiral apart. The value basins are solid, especially the four he came up with. That's what Graves came up with in the primary research. All the rest were developed out of secondary research. The four primary research are good, express self calculatedly, sacrifice of self to get now, sacrifice of self to get later. Those four systems, if you understand Graves and spiral dynamics, are solid. There's no question in my mind, because somebody else found the same thing, McClellan, achievement, affiliation, power, and avoidance as the social motives. So again, we got motivational systems, we got movements against, towards, with, and away from to match all that. So we've got kind of a cross-referencing system that works to give us a GPS. So from there is where we're going with FLOSS. And so a lot of these developmental theories contribute, but you have to take apart some of their hypotheses that, in my view, do not add up.
Oh.
And that's the things you have to do. So those are all the things that we've mashed together. Now, there's, you know, the core page, flawlessliving.info/core, we're working on that. That'll be a resource page for you, so you can start to see the systems that we're working with. And, again, those in and by themselves are fairly complex. But we're actually trying to make them somewhat simple through the process. And what I've got to come up with the FLOSS axioms, I've got to come up with a FLOSS manifesto and things like that. and you'll have a better view when you say floss says this, BS says this. But it takes time to do that, you know. And I'm much better on the front edge than I am on the back edge. And of course, you know, I started out, you know, a year and a half or so ago with some folks who I was hoping could kind of do the back edge, but they have more fun on the front edge and they can't do the back edge either. So it's just we have to keep circling back and building density in the system for new people to join. Otherwise, the platform's going to get too crowded and not enough people are going to know, and the damn thing's going to collapse. The movement's gone because it wasn't supported well. So we have to get that done. But that's why you're here. That's why we're designing the system. I started writing the work for this back in 2002, finished the first book in 2005. You haven't seen that because it's too dense and complex. My daughter, Katie, looked at it and said, "Dad, no one is going to understand anything in this book." And I said, "Okay, what I'll do is I'll take the ideas out of that book and I'll make an airplane book." And then that was done in 2007, and we've been working on it ever since. And, you know, and it's still not that great as I would like to see it, but it's the best we've got for now, so we're going to go with it. You know, haven't published it for 5 years. We need to publish it. But that will help you. The pre-published version is out. We will not use the illustrations in the regular version, and there has been a rewrite has happened. I can't get Gary to get Brian to send me the copy that Rachel sent him, which is the last copy. So, Gary, have Brian send me the copy, not in PDF, but in Word, that Rachel sent to him because it was the latest copy. And he was going to tweak it and send it on, and it got stuck there. So let's get it out of there, okay? Tell him, don't work on it anymore, just send it to me. So what I'll do is I'll go through and look to see if there's anything that I need to change right quick, because there are some, we have had some quote-unquote interesting differences in some of the quote-unquote people that I have worked with, and so I want to make sure we get those resolved. But then that's the latest rewrite, which is not a major rewrite, but an update for you. But if you read the book that we got right now, that's got the material in it. It's just got a few things that you wouldn't notice that are not quite right, which I went in and fixed on a rewrite that I did. And then we've had kind of a brush up. I've added a warning chapter, and then Brian was going to tweak some things for the book and stuff like that. So we need to get that from Brian right now, Gary. And then if it's not from Gary, we'll take it straight from Michelle. And she may have sent it to me, but I can't find it. I can't find where I put it. So there's a book floating around out there somewhere.
Okay, I'll check on that.
All right.
And how do I get a copy of that?
You go to flawlessliving.info/book. Sign in there. Don't put your credit card, and you'll get a digital delivery.
Thank you.
David, I was just about to send it to you. My apologies. I had the wrong URL in one of the emails that went out to you, but that's where to go.
Oh, thank you.
I'm hoping that we're getting the process when people pay their money and step up, that we're going to get that process smoothed out. That's what we're working on right now. And so you do get the URL for the book so that you do understand what we're trying to do, at least with the discussion, so that you do understand what's available to you, like at the core page and stuff like that. Okay, I've got to run. I'm already 10 minutes behind. I'm going to see if I can make it. So I got to go. Thanks, everybody, so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
See you next time.
All right.